Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Have you heard about the new Terra Invest Strategy Discord server Orbital Command spun up? If you're looking for a chill place to chat about different Luna stacking strategies, or looking for some alpha, or if you're trying to find the best UST farms, or even if you just have a quick question you need answered, be sure to stop by TIS and say hi to the Orbital Command gang. Hell, I'm even in there sometimes when I'm not editing hours of CeFi spaces. You can find me in that server chatting about NFTs and answering basic Terra Luna questions. The link to the server is in the show notes, and for more information, check out orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, terraforming with Apollo Dow. Let's take a listen.
Yo, what up, man? Might as well do the audio test early on today for Bruce.
Sounds good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. See if everyone else can hear you. If anyone's here, they can hear Bruce. Just give like a reaction emoji.
Throw me a thumbs up if you can hear.
Then bro, you might have got rugged. All right, cool.
Cool, I'm coming through okay? Sounds good.
Yeah, all right, cool. I figured we'd figured that one out in the beginning this time, because I feel like it always happens.
It always does. Mine seems to be the worst. But yeah, thank you everyone for joining early. We'll just get everyone in, give everyone a few minutes, and then we'll begin. But thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm going to grab a drink real quick before we get started, too.
Got to stay hydrated.
It's major key, bro. Major key. Especially with Luna mooning, you know, you always got to stay hydrated. Just to keep you sane.
It's been a big day for Luna.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, can hear you clearly.
Perfect. What's up, Bruce? How you doing, man?
I am great. Yeah.
What's up, Nod? How you doing, man?
Chilling, man. I just was making a nice coffee real quick, but I'm back.
Cool. Ready whenever you guys are. I don't know if you guys want to give a few minutes to everybody straggling in.
Yeah, I think, probably good to kick it off soon here. I think it's recorded either way, so.
Cool. I think we're ready to go.
Awesome. All right, so same as always, I guess we'll just start with a quick dev update. Kind of you guys can gloss over the update you guys released earlier this week, a few days ago, which I thought was really good, really in-depth, which is something I always appreciate about you guys. Your kind of transparency on what you guys are working on and kind of keeping the whole community updated. So yeah, let's just start with the dev update from either one of you guys, if you want to kick it off.
Yeah, I can kick that off. So I think the last kind of week or so, one of the main things is we've started the audit process on VE Apollo, which is kind of mentioned previously is based on the VX Astro code. So it'd be great to kind of get that all audited and all out. And I think it's kind of going to be one of the big changes, really. Kind of the kind of thing I'm probably most excited about is the kind of the enabling of governance on that side. And I think we'll really see, I think it'll kind of add a lot of benefits. But I think especially in terms of stuff like the war chest, we'll just be able to kind of cover a lot more ground. We kind of get a lot of exciting things coming in from the community. So I think the more that we can kind of pass it over, that would be great. And it'll be great for kind of just having that all ready to go.
So kind of just going off that, are you guys planning to have, if you guys want to let kind of community know, are you guys planning to have full decentralization right off the bat? Are you guys planning to kind of ease into it, kind of have like team-centric or try to have team-centric proposals, things like that? How are you guys kind of thinking of that?
Yeah, so I think it will be, I guess, kind of a little bit of a mix between those. So I think the thing that we'll be kind of most focused on is making sure that the proposals have all the information that's needed, and there's no kind of bad proposals coming in, and kind of when the time they're submitted for voting that they've kind of been checked, they've been kind of approved. But I think the kind of the process around that would be that anyone would be able to kind of within the community would be able to kind of create their proposal and kind of suggest it, and then we might work with them, or kind of the people from the community can kind of work with them to make sure that it has all the required information, that it's kind of feasible and possible, and then kind of go towards the governance process. And then when that's kind of working smoothly and well, I think we can kind of keep working on kind of further decentralizing that into being purely kind of community driven and community created.
Definitely looking for, I guess you can say, like more like contributors and more, I guess, like participation once we launch the governance. But I don't think that it's not like, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, launch governance and then, you know, the team is just like, all right, well, let's just like see what happens. I think that it'll be like, you know, we're definitely looking for it to be somewhat of almost like a joint governance venture, I guess you could say, where, you know, the team is working closely with a lot of these, like, you know, core like contributors and holders to try to like really refine all of these governance proposals and making sure, like he said, everything's actually like technically possible, kind of like makes sense from like a, you know, a financial point if it's like a war chest proposal. So I definitely think that there'll be a lot of like kind of joint governance work between like the team and the community is kind of I'm hoping that we can kind of start it off like that and then kind of expand from there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also we're going to have we've got kind of lots on our roadmap from the development side that we're kind of still working on and looking to get out, which again we'll kind of go over a little bit more detail. But I think those will obviously still remain our priorities even once governance goes live, but kind of more and more the kind of the direction will also of kind of the developers and where our development resources go will also be kind of directed by the governance and token holders as well.
Yeah, so I think it'll be it'll be like, you know, some definitely more of like a transitionary period from, you know, like opening governance to like kind of like, you know, working with the community on it. And then I think like eventually once you have enough like templates in order and stuff like that, you'll see with like a lot of the other protocols where, you know, then like community contributors are coming in with like, you know, full proposals on all that stuff. So definitely interested. It's like going to be an interesting experiment, at least. It's kind of, I'm kind of excited for it. Something, you know, something new.
Yeah, man. I think we're all very excited. Excited to kind of see where the community takes things, excited to have one of obviously the larger use cases of the tokens or of the token. So I think that we should see some nice price action, hopefully. And yeah, man, it's been a long time coming. So we are all super stoked for it.
Yeah, it's going to definitely be pretty dope. And yeah, I'm definitely excited too, because then it will kind of open up the possibility for our like development fund also. So we have obviously like our development fund, and then we also have the Doquan grant, as we call it, where he you know, donated his tokens that he had back to us and was just like, yeah, you add these to basically to like kind of like a dev fund type role. So I'm really excited to kind of start deploying some of like, you know, the development fund and really scaling to kind of help scale the whole business model, as well as, you know, definitely would be really interested in like same thing. Obviously, you know, we need to go through like the correct process of like, you know, like you know, we're gonna rewrite a lot of the stuff that we're like rewrite a lot of the contracts, like just like kind of like a refactor, like basically just clean up a lot of the code and make it, you know, like well documented, all that stuff, and work towards also like getting a license and then open sourcing, which is definitely something key for us. So I think, you know, that'll probably be able to come along, like, you know, like rather sooner, like right after we kind of clean up all the code and get everything launched and like, you know, the product is actually like you know, built out enough to where, and like audited by a few sources, then we'll look to move towards open, like open source, open governance, which I think will bring like, you know, a whole new world to Apollo. So pretty excited for both of those.
Awesome, man. Yeah, me too. Okay, kind of moving off of the Apollo, super stoked to have that audit started. Going over to Mars in the leveraged yield farming. So obviously they launched this past week. They have a few pairs up. Kind of wanted to kind of hear what your guys' thoughts are behind that right now. What pairs you guys want to see whitelisted, what you guys are going to be applying to have whitelisted, and kind of just general thoughts.
Yeah. So yeah, really, really excited about the launch of Mars. And I think the contract to contract lending and the kind of the whole field of Mars really kind of brings a whole new kind of ball game to Terra and to Terra farming as well. So kind of really excited to see that. So I think to start with, it's definitely going to be pretty conservative in terms of kind of how much is available to be lent. So I know on their kind of their own platform at the moment, I think they've pretty much hit the limits on all three pairs, I believe, already, which is pretty impressive and kind of shows the demand there. And I think that's just going to be kind of slowly opened out and slowly increased. So it's definitely to start with is going to be kind of the major pairs. So it's going to be kind of a minimum amount of liquidity required before pairs can be added. And then I think that will kind of be increased over time. So yeah, I think it'll be kind of the large ones with the large amount of liquidity to start with, and then kind of look to add more and more. So definitely going to be the large UST denominated ones that we have as well, but also at the moment working on just kind of finalizing the stuff needed for the Luna pairs, so stuff like ST Luna Luna and kind of B Luna Luna potentially. It depends on kind of how that all plans out. I know that they're looking to move most of it to ST Luna, so yeah, I think that'd be kind of a really interesting one that you'd be able to borrow Luna, you'd be able to leverage yield farm that Luna pair, and then that kind of gives some interesting yield opportunities both for people depositing Luna into Mars, but also those looking to farm that ST Luna pair as well. So I think at the moment it's kind of over 20%. So that could be another, it could actually be one of the higher yielding Luna sources just from depositing on Mars, which is obviously then going to generate a lot of interest. And it's kind of, I think we've kind of really seen this with kind of other leveraged yieldifying platforms on other chains, so kind of Solana and Ethereum. It all becomes kind of a circle kind of feeding each other. The more kind of leveraged yield farming there is, the more there is demand for borrowing, which puts rates up. So yeah, I think it's going to be kind of really exciting to see how that plays out. And I think we're also kind of excited to also have some Mars tokens as well that we got through the lock drop, and we're going to be staking those as XMars. So we're going to kind of benefit from not only providing the leveraged yield farming platform, but then we can also be on the other side. So the more other yield farming leverage platforms there are utilizing Field of Mars, we're kind of still benefiting from those and kind of, yeah, benefiting from the overall ecosystem.
Awesome, man. Yeah, love to hear that. I cannot wait for XMars and X Astro to go live. It's going to be an insane printer for the war chest, which is going to be super dope, and kind of both hopefully coming up here pretty soon. Awesome. Did you want to add anything to that, Anon?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited for Mars too. I started using it, of course, right? Leverage yield farming. You know, you'll find me in there. But yeah, no, honestly, it's a really great product. I think, like, the whole basically a credit protocol. And then, yeah, like, basically what he was saying, like, you have to start with the really deep liquidity pools. So you're probably looking at, you know, like, if you were to filter, say, whatever, like, you know, Astroport by total TVL of each pool, that's probably, like, a pretty general order of, like, which pairs you'll probably see. Just because, like I said, there is, like, liquidity requirements. So, like, some of the lower liquidity pools probably won't be added for a while. So I definitely think that it's like going to be interesting to see, you know, how much TVL and how much, you know, degenerate farming goes on. And I think that once we get some, like, you know, different pairs and stuff like that, like, I think Mars will grow to, like, personally, I think it'll be like, you know, one of the top lending protocols in all of DeFi is kind of my opinion on where it could go, especially when it's heavily based on like Luna and UST. It's just like those are like, you know, obviously TVL if Luna is, you know, if you have Luna in your platform, like that your TVL shoots up when Luna shoots up. So I think that that you'll definitely see. I think Mars up there is one of the top DeFi protocols. So yeah, being like a staker within X Mars and kind of an, I guess, technically underwriting the risk of, you know, with the X Mars slash, I think that it's kind of, you know, it's like definitely a really good place for Apollo to be, as like, since we're offering a lot of, you know, some of their credit lines and stuff to users. So definitely excited about the Martian Council and also like providing the uncollateralized loans like through the Apollo platform too.
Yeah, I think also it's really interesting the way that Mars has done this. So our leveraged yield farming platform, and I assume the other ones as well, are kind of going to be heavily built on the kind of the stuff that the Mars team has actually built themselves and then have kind of made available. So rather than trying to kind of hold the market, they've kind of made it accessible and easy for other platforms to integrate. And I think that's going to bring a lot of benefits to them rather than trying to have like a closed off ecosystem and trying to hold and trying to kind of do everything themselves. They've kind of looked at kind of ways they can kind of expand that by working with other protocols. And I think we see this a lot on Terra, and I think it's kind of something that's really, really good to be part of. And I think the other thing for me is we're only kind of seeing Luna and UST available there at the moment, but there's definitely kind of going to be potential for adding other assets in the future. And I think that will then also have a kind of a pretty interesting effect on the way that you can yield farm as well, whether you're looking to reduce some of the risks. So you might be supplying the UST and then kind of borrow the other asset. So I think there's kind of lots of future things they'll be able to add as well. And I think that the more vaults and more farming opportunities come, the more applications there's going to be for Mars as well. And I think we're only just beginning to see all of really the kind of DeFi primitives coming to Terra, but already kind of Terra is one of the kind of the, I think it's the second highest in terms of TVL. So I think once all these kind of kick in and it's, yeah, I think we're only at start, still early kind of thing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel like right now is kind of that time where you can really start to see a shift happening, you know, with Andre Rage quitting on Phantom and everything. I think a lot of new users are starting to come over to Terra, and that's definitely apparent through Astro's like astronomical volume and things like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely pretty hyped too, because I definitely see like, obviously like with the minimum liquidity requirement involved on Mars, like that's where Astroport will play a big role as well for, you know, say if you want to get something listed on Mars, you know, one route would be to potentially, you know, use Astro governance and whatever bribing and or whatever, however you want to work it out to get, you know, these pools boosted. Getting them boosted would draw more liquidity. More liquidity would then, you know, that could give you like, you know, that could get you into the requirement for Mars. So I think we're going to start to see this, you know, interoperability between different protocols that, like, you know, kind of like you said, like basically, you know, all right, we need more liquidity to get access to, you know, our waitlist on Mars. How can we get more liquidity? You know, one way would be to try to lobby to boost your rewards on Astro. And like, I just can see a lot of, you know, like interesting plays like that, like kind of like panning out. So I definitely think that we're definitely in the earlier days of like Terra DeFi. So trying to kind of continue building like, you know, Apollo, like in the middle of a lot of that interoperability and how we can benefit our users by kind of, you know, putting some different like puzzle pieces and Legos together to like make a more like, I guess, efficient product for everyone by like using other products to enhance ours as well.
Oh man, if only there were a DAO that was like $15 million market cap that's been hoarding all of the Astro. I wish, man. I wish. yeah, it's awesome to kind of see that play out exactly how we had kind of envisioned, how you guys had, you know, built it and envisioned it too, which is super exciting. And I totally agree, we're early days in Terra DeFi, so I think we're going to be a power player up there. All right, so moving on from that, super exciting stuff. If you guys just wanted to touch on the recent CFE, if you guys want to just give some numbers
Yeah, so we've now got kind of two CFEs running, both Deviant's Faction and Terrapins as well. So interestingly, this is kind of the first time that we've kind of launched two CFEs simultaneously. So we were definitely pretty interested to see kind of how they kind of worked out, whether kind of capital moved from one to the other or whether it was pretty sticky. And I think what we've seen is it's pretty sticky, and both these platforms have done, both Deviants and Terrapins have done great jobs in kind of bringing and kind of driving their community and kind of really engaging with it that way. And both of them got over 5 mil. So I believe Deviants has got just over 5 mil, and then Terrapins, I believe, has kind of 6 or 7 mil. And both kind of farming at kind of 75-80% APRs. And kind of getting access to these tokens before release. And I think it's the real aim has always been to kind of, one, give community access to these tokens at the earliest point possible, two, kind of remove the need to kind of purchase these tokens, so kind of make them accessible to more people, and three, kind of really kind of benefit the token holders of other tokens as well. Yeah, I think kind of we've been really pleased with kind of how they've been working out so far, and they'll kind of keep ticking along, keep farming. And then it's been good because we get we take a performance fee from these and then kind of get that returned in UST and Luna. So kind of having a constant trickle of Luna coming into the war chest over the last kind of month or so has been pretty beneficial. So keep trying to kind of accumulate more Luna and hopefully it doesn't pump too quickly, kind of thing. Been kind of really pleased with those, and I think there's going to be more that we can kind of add to those as well. Maybe in the future we could even kind of combine the leverage yield farming with the farmers market. I don't know. There's definitely kind of much more that we can do with these, and we've been pleased with the response that we've seen so far.
Awesome, man. Do you guys have any figures on what kind of revenue is coming back through these two CFEs?
Yeah, so we get a 10% performance fee. So it's a couple of hundred K per year, so kind of not huge amounts, but it's I think it's a good balance that's kind of new revenue ticking in, and as we're getting in Luna, like the increase in price of Luna has kind of really driven up the revenue we're actually getting. So
I think it's about it's nice too, because it's an alternate revenue source as opposed to the traditional vaults. So like generally, you know, the anchor to a vault is usually the most popular in the community farm. So a lot of the liquidity is concentrated in ANC, UST in those vaults. I mean, it's just like, you know, obviously a really popular vault either way. So a lot of people use that. And I know on the Deviants, I think the performance fee would like equate out to, or I think it was in like, around like 100 to 150,000 of UST value profit, but 25% of that is going to be in Luna. So it's kind of hard to do the exact math, just because like basically each time that these vaults compound, it like 25% of the performance fee goes to market buy Luna, like a steady DCA. Like it's not like a lot at once really, because it's, you know, it's like each one of these transactions is like the larger vaults on the CFEs is usually around, you know, like $200 to $300 performance fee, like for us. And then, so like around there, like, you know, 25%, you know, you're give or take, depending on the price of Luna, anywhere from, you know, like a quarter of a Luna up to like, you know, one or two Luna for when that compounds. And it's, you know, compounding 2 to 3 times a day. So you can do the math, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're getting the couple thousand of profit, as well as the Luna, which, you know, like after when we first started the CFEs was, you know, 50, 60s. So then the increase in Luna also factors in. So I think that it's like a pretty decent revenue stream, and it's also like offering a pretty good service that, you know, people are definitely interested in using. So it's kind of a win-win for Apollo, because the war chest is earning, you know, earning basically a profit off of this, as well as the users of the other tokens are can do, like, you know, I guess not principal protected necessarily, but like a lossless investment in terms of your LP position. Obviously the US dollar value can fluctuate, but so I think that it is kind of like a good win-win, which is kind of why, like, it's an interesting product and kind of like an, almost like an accidental one too. Like, you know, we kind of just did it for ourselves and then figured, you know, oh, we could probably offer this for other people. So it's kind of been a little bit of an experiment that we're trying to really kind of standardize it a bit and see, and kind of make it a little bit smoother of like a development process where we're basically like kind of cloning repos and launching and more stuff like that. So definitely we're looking to move it to like something, I guess, more scalable. But for right now, it's kind of like, you know, we're still like figuring out exactly what that whole product is gonna be. So, and yeah, I'm assuming that it'll probably go to governance votes once we do, like if we accept or decline based on a governance vote, I'd assume probably.
Yeah.
I ran the numbers quickly. I believe it's bringing about 75K per month, but as a non more eloquent than I put, yeah, it's also kind of, we also get the kind of price appreciation of Luna, and then we can kind of then use that Luna or the UST to start earning kind of more revenue on that as well. So yeah, multiple revenue streams.
Yeah, man. I hate to say it. I love everything Delphi does, of course, but the CFEs were the original, the OG lock drops for the people. So I think you guys definitely started something really good there that will continue to become more popular. And like you guys say, super useful for the users. Don't have to worry about getting like botted out or anything like that. They can have kind of the upper hand, which is not that, not, it doesn't happen that often. So that's super nice, man. That was like one of my favorite things about your guys' token launch as well. Cool. So moving on in the dev update, is there anything else you guys want to add kind of before we get into War Chest details and kind of how that's doing and how the numbers look there? Is there anything else you guys want to add in the developer update?
I guess the only other kind of couple of things. So the, as kind of mentioned, the convex model is also progressing pretty well. So we've done a lot of kind of the base work for it. And now kind of getting more into the weeds and kind of sorting out the kind of final details. And then I think once the Mars platform, at least kind of the initial implementation of our leverage yield farming platform is done, we can then kind of put a lot of focus onto this. And I think this will be kind of something we're kind of really excited for. And obviously, initially, it's going to be focused on Astroport, but I think there's also a lot more kind of potential within Terra to kind of implement stuff like this. And yeah, I think we'll see kind of a lot more projects implementing kind of similar tokenomics to Astroport, especially once it's all kind of open source and they can kind of also kind of see the kind of the benefits of this. And then obviously, I think these kind of models, they don't necessarily suit everyone. Not everyone wants to kind of lock up their tokens for long term. And I think that's very understandable within DeFi. And I think this is kind of one of the main reasons I am such a fan of the convex model, is it gives people different abilities. If they don't want to lock up their tokens but still want the yield, they can kind of do it through a kind of convex model. And then something like Apollo can benefit from that. And then we can also kind of pass those benefits on to our users as well. So yeah, I think that'll be something we're looking to get out as soon as possible, and trying to align that with VX Astro coming out as well. And yeah, I think the only kind of other thing is really trying to work on removing our dependence on kind of TFL infrastructure. It's great that they do kind of provide this, and it makes it kind of much easier to get all set up. But yeah, trying to kind of move away from that as much as possible, kind of run our own nodes, run our own Mantle server, and everything like that. And then kind of in addition to that, I think that the big thing for us is really kind of speeding up the Apollo site as well. So kind of the more vaults we've added, the more data we have to pull in. So kind of working on ways that we can kind of make that all a little bit more efficient in terms of the loading as well. So yeah, I think there's kind of things that are kind of happening on the surface, and then also kind of things that are happening behind the scenes to kind of keep improving the platform as well.
Yeah, awesome, man. I feel like it's just going to be so many cool things dropping at once. So super excited to kind of watch that happen, be able to use everything that's dropping, and yeah, finally have a convex model on Terra. That will be super fun, man. Super excited to watch that.
All right, cool. So let's get into the War Chest updates. Of course, as we have all seen some of the Terra ecosystem price action over the past few weeks, it seems that Apollo and Luna are bear market survivors, which is pretty dope to see. The War Chest has obviously grown quite a bit, which is also pretty cool to see. So if you guys just kind of want to get into that and kind of what it means for Apollo and the token and things like that.
Yeah. So it's been pretty busy for the War Chest over the last couple of days or couple of weeks, I guess. So the kind of the two major moves have been depositing the 1 million UST into Mars, which I think netted us around 290k Mars tokens, which we're then going to be able to use to, as we said earlier, kind of stake in XMars and have access to the governance, also have access to the fees, and also be able to kind of, just be kind of part of that growth. And I think we've kind of really focused on the kind of the revenue generating assets, what we believe are going to be the high revenue generating assets. So kind of looking at everything from kind of Astroport, which I think in terms of fees, I think in terms of their fee distribution wallet, it's now considerably over 8 million, which it was when I last looked, and I would have thought with the Luna price rise, it's probably gone up considerably. So we've been looking at ways that we can kind of get access to lots of different revenue streams that are gonna kind of keep bringing revenue into Apollo DAO without having to purely be reliant on fees. So the other one that we've kind of moved into this week as well is Prism. So we've deposited 5,000 Luna or Y Luna into the Prism farm. And last time I checked, it was kind of just below 50% APR on Prism, which for Luna staking is pretty damn impressive. Not sure how long it's gonna last or be that high. But yeah, I think it's kind of a great opportunity having kind of the exposure to Luna, also being able to kind of farm Prism tokens. And the Prism rewards are pretty substantial as well. So I think they're kind of 30, 40% APR on or APY on the X Prism. So we've got to wait 30 days until we can start claiming those, but we're currently getting it last time just over 1,000 Prism per day from our Prism farming. So then we're going to be locking those as soon as we have access, and using those to kind of further boost our Y Luna farming as well. And this is going on for a whole year as well. So there's plenty of time to kind of accumulate these Prism tokens. And then again, that's another kind of source of revenue. I think kind of in combination of everything that we've got at the moment, ranging from kind of the Apollo LP, the Astroport LP, and kind of our Luna staked and our AUST, we're kind of looking at over 30% yield. I think it's about 35% yield or APR on our holdings. So yeah, I think kind of one of our things is really being that we want to kind of match the inflation of the Apollo token with the growth of the War Chest. So not only are we going to do this through kind of collecting fees for distributing Apollo, but the higher yield we can get on our current assets, the better. And I think this is before we even have stuff like Astroport on Mars launch. Once those launch, one of our main holdings is obviously Astroport tokens. And I think we now have over 2 million Astroport tokens. So once we can get access to being able to kind of max lock those and kind of also get all the yield from that, I think that's going to kind of add a lot.
I think it's 1.3 million tokens. I think it's worth to like 2 million USD right now. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
I check it every day, like before I check my emails and stuff. Yeah.
So again, that's going to be kind of something we kind of keep accumulating. We've also got we're getting the kind of the Astroport rewards from our Apollo LP as well. I think we've got quite a large kind of number of revenue streams already, and going to keep looking to expand that and also kind of reduce our reliance on kind of one source. And obviously the crypto market is, I think pretty damn volatile and I think it's always going to be like that. But I think more and more we're seeing certain sectors perform well when other sectors are struggling. So I think the more different places we can be getting revenue from, the better. And I think stuff like DEXs, they see constant revenue and constant yield. whether it's kind of a bull market or bear market. Obviously it's going to go up and down, and but yeah, it's especially with Astroport, it's made a pretty high level of APR. So kind of really excited for their revenue sharing to come out.
Yeah, man. Me too. It's going to be only good things for the war chest. I mean, actually, it's really nice to have something like Apollo, because when you inevitably, as a single user, don't have the balls to max lock everything, you can just buy Apollo and chill, which is super dope. Because, you know, the DAO kind of has the freedom to max lock and earn all of this crazy APY through, like, you know, multiple different streams, all kind of flowing back to the token holders. So, yeah, man, very excited to kind of watch that come out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting going from kind of being a more personal trader, where you can be pretty nimble, pretty quick, and get in and out of things. Whereas kind of the mantra or kind of the idea behind the war chest has definitely been, it's like a much more like a kind of a giant ocean, and you can't kind of turn it too quickly. But it also gives you the freedom to have a much more longer term timeline. So I think kind of our Astroport accumulation kind of speaks to this, whereas we saw that it was how much kind of T-Bell it attracted, and we kind of assumed that, or not assumed, made the estimation that because of the amount of liquidity that it had locked to the platform, it was going to be the trading place to go to. And kind of based on that, and based on the kind of the trading volume that was going through kind of TerraSwap and stuff like that previously, the fees were going to be pretty substantial. So it made it a pretty easy decision to start kind of accumulating that. And I think we're kind of starting to see some of the benefits of that. But I think it's still, like I said a few times already, it's still kind of very early days on stuff like Astroport. And I think maintaining over kind of 300 million and almost getting up to kind of 600-800 million on certain days has been great to watch. And is, I thought I was a big Astro bull, but it's definitely blown my expectations out of the water in terms of volume. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing how that grows. And I think this is still only their kind of, obviously they've got their kind of normal swaps, they've got their stable swaps, but I think we're also going to kind of see more and more different kinds of utility come to Astroport and the different kinds of swaps. So looking forward to stuff like tri pools and stuff like that. And yeah, lots more utility coming. And I think this is going to drive a lot more interest into it as well.
Yeah, man. I was actually extremely surprised as well to see that it was in the top handful of DEXs in terms of volume. I was super surprised to see that. I mean, yeah, so super exciting.
Cool. I'm the only one. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like also a large part of that is just the insane strength that Luna has showed too.
Exactly.
Kind of having that, you know, paired with UST is also like fairly attractive. And I don't know. I just think there's a lot of you know, really compelling reasons as to why Astroport has been performing so well, and probably why it will continue to perform super well.
Yeah, I think I'm also pretty excited for all the, I think there'll be more kind of stable swaps coming as well. So I think it was Luke that was posting about it the other day in terms of they've already got kind of wrapped USDC. So I think it'll be pretty interesting when, or if they start getting kind of Astro rewards, and it may become, because obviously there's people that kind of want exposure to non-UST. So it might be kind of some interesting kind of new yield opportunities on those. And then also kind of getting the stuff like Kinetic tokens as well, or KUST. So I think, yeah, I think we've kind of seen from Curve how popular stable swaps and stable farming can be. And I think this would only be beneficial for Anchor as well, in terms of maybe taking some of the strain off that. Maybe these stable swaps might not be able to offer 20%, but it's going to be kind of a different risk profile as well. So yeah, and I think if they start having good yield, then you're going to start getting kind of wrapped USDC listed on kind of Mars or stuff like Edge as well. And then that's just going to be kind of more yield sources. And then we can kind of maybe start looking at kind of having different vaults as well, and kind of stable vaults and stuff like that. So yeah, I think lots to come.
Yeah, I think it would be the wormhole USDC USD pool is pretty interesting, other than like you said, basically the fact that Anchor, like, that's the difference between, I would say, something like Terra and Ethereum, where like on Ethereum you have Curve with a ton of these different stable swap pools, whereas like with that all have smart contract, like more smart contract layered risk, because you're basically they're interacting with more contracts. Whereas like with Anchor, you're like that rate kind of like nullifies that whole like, I guess you like stable coin swap, like attractiveness. So that's where I think that the one like the liquidity would definitely have to be pretty high, because that would be like the best way to swap between UST to USDC, because it would just be like whatever $1 fee to swap from UST to USDC, and then you could send it back through Wormhole if you wanted to bring it back to Ethereum, all for relatively cheap. But yeah, that pool is going to need a ton of liquidity, and then that's the only thing that I see is even if you get like the boosted Astro rewards on it, you might be able to get it to around like 20, maybe 20% plus. But I think that pool, it definitely is going to need some outside help with like the liquidity, I think, for that one to work. But it is definitely interesting to see if any of these stable swap pools can get up above the Anchor rate, because then obviously if it does get above the Anchor rate, more liquidity will come, and then it'll probably suck that back down below the Anchor rate. So it's kind of hard to compete with a fixed rate, I guess, is the only thing that I've like been looking at. But yeah, I think maybe in the long term something like that could have a higher rate than Anchor, or if Anchor ever does reduce their rate, then that could kind of take over as like, you know, like you said, a different risk profile. But also you have the Wormhole risk, the Astroport smart contract risk, and you know, all of that on top of where you could just be in Anchor. So I definitely think that's like an interesting problem that's kind of unique to Luna, where Anchor kind of nullifies a lot of the stable swaps. So it kind of like, you know, it is almost not attractive to use anything but UST, which is good, but like for the purpose of, I guess, swapping between other stables, then sometimes the Anchor rate can kind of nullify that. But I guess we'll just have to see it play out.
Yeah, man. And I think increase in stable swaps pools for native UST is also, of course, good for the peg and things like that. So yeah, that'll be very very exciting to see happen. Yeah, man, Astro is gonna be killer, and I'm super happy that you guys were kind of keen super super early on to just buy as much as you could. I honestly wish that it would have stayed at whatever, like 70 cents forever, but you know, you can only accumulate so much, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we do it like from the dollar cost average approach, so it was definitely pretty entertaining to watch a lot of those buy orders going through at like, you know, like 59, 60, 60 cents, like that area. Like that was when I was like kind of like sitting back just like, dude, I feel like this is like illegal almost or something. I was like, this is like, I feel like I shouldn't be able to get away with this. Like why is the price of this so low? Just based off of the TVL and the volume and how strong the Luna asset is. That's when I was just like, dude, this is, there's a huge like discrepancy between value and perceived value right now. And then that was when we were like, yeah, let's turn on the DCA bot, like, and just start buying. Cause like we got the lock drop, which is like you said, like basically the only risk was locking our tokens. And then because of that, we were able to get a lot upfront with relatively low capital risk. And then that allowed us to just turn the DCA on, and you know, our vaults go into buying the vault fee goes into buying Astro tokens. So it's kind of like a, you know, big bootstrap of liquidity, and then a little bit of it goes into this, which will help us bootstrap more liquidity.
Awesome, man. All right, cool. So kind of moving on to our last topic, we've touched on a little bit, but if you guys just want to touch on the war chest returns for itself and kind of how much revenue it's generating annually at this rate, and kind of things that you guys see adding on to the revenue streams in the near to mid future. Just kind of want to touch on some of those things.
Yeah, so I think at the moment it's not including fees. It's looking at not including fees and not including kind of price appreciation. It's about 2 million US dollars per year just from kind of the returns from kind of staking. And I think kind of, yeah, so that's kind of just from our Prolo LP, our Astro LP.
That's not even taking into account trading fees, right?
No, that's not. No trading fees or anything like that. No fees from the vaults. So it's been pretty consistent in terms of appreciation. It seems about 50% coming from the vault fees and about 50% from kind of price appreciation of the war chest and also yield. So yeah, I think it's about 30% average yield at the moment, and then kind of making a few kind of estimations on kind of what we'd get from Mars and Astro. So just kind of went with kind of roughly 30% APR from Astro. I think it's a pretty good guess. I expect it would probably be higher from kind of max locking, and 10% from Mars with just our holdings. You're kind of looking at well over kind of 30%. So kind of 35 to 40% and looking at over about 3 million UST or US dollars per year. And then also kind of, we'd then be adding kind of the Prism tokens into that as well. So we're kind of, if you calculate the Prism tokens, or the Prism tokens would be calculating that, but not also kind of calculating the kind of ex-Prism yield as well. So yeah, I think this will work quite well, because obviously one of the hard things is how do you kind of keep scaling this? Will it be easier to kind of manage the war chest when it's at this kind of $8 to $9 million range, and will it be a lot harder kind of later on? And we've kind of seen other, it can potentially get much harder to kind of manage it later on. But I think with these kind of yield opportunities, it's only going to kind of build upon each other. We can kind of use some of our capital to farm a token, and then that token can then generate additional yield, yield on top of each other as well. So yeah, I think we'll kind of keep seeing this expand. And I think especially once kind of VX Astro and stuff like that launches, it'll kind of really boost our yearly revenue. So yeah, I think at the moment, we're looking at about averaging about 6-7 million in fees, adding kind of 2 to 3 million in kind of revenue. And then also going to be looking out for kind of more and more kind of farming opportunities. It's really kind of helped us kind of keep this balance. And something that's been kind of good to see is we've kind of really maintained this roughly, or kind of we've kept the market cap of the token, or it's kind of the market cap of the tokens kind of remained under 50%, or remained under double the value of the war chest. So I think this is kind of quite a good balance in terms of it's got all the asset backing, but then also has kind of these future potential opportunities. So I think that kind of that 2x rate is pretty kind of makes sense to me. And I think it'd be good to kind of maintain something like that and kind of keep growing the war chest along with that. So yeah, it's definitely adds some interesting dynamics, I think, with stuff like obviously kind of a lot of the criticism when I first joined crypto was always kind of, oh, that they're kind of not backed by anything, it doesn't have any inherent value. So I think there's kind of pros and cons of having more of an inherent value is you're kind of tethered a bit more to that, but it also kind of allows you to just kind of create much more of a kind of solid price floor. So yeah, I think it'd be kind of interesting to watch as it grows, and at the moment kind of really focusing on the kind of the bootstrapping and growing it through multiple different ways. But I think as we grow, and depending more and more on kind of the token holders, what they kind of want to do, we can then look at stuff like creating kind of price floors and stuff like that, and kind of really kind of tie it back to the token more. So kind of, yeah, I think there'd be kind of some interesting stuff to do. I saw, for example, kind of Olympus releasing their inverse bonds, which is pretty interesting. It's kind of basically a way that the token holders can get capital back, but at a lower rate than the token backing. So it increases the kind of token backing per token of the people in the vault. So yeah, again, still going back to kind of early days, but kind of it's growing well. We've been kind of pleased with the performance, and I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities coming. And we've got kind of a number of other things we've been farming that haven't released yet. So kind of the big one being Stada. So we had kind of 5,000 Luna locked in there. Haven't got our Stada tokens yet, but they're coming out pretty soon. So that'll be interesting to see. And now the Luna we staked in there has gone to kind of auto compounding, and we're getting kind of I think it's kind of 100 or a couple of hundred or 100 or so Luna per month auto compounded as well. So yeah, lots of different kind of places growing and generating yield. And we're going to be releasing a full deep dive into the war chest. So it'll be our third deep dive, likely early next week as well.
Yeah, we had a pretty solid, like, I guess, the early growth rate, obviously based off our own protocol, own liquidity, which I guess, like, for lack of a better word, is like, I consider that's kind of like Ponzi money in a way, I guess. Like, obviously it's necessary and whatever, but you can't really count that because it's kind of like, I guess, somewhat created out of, like, not thin air, but it's, you know, it's like your own LP. So I try not to, like, really count that initial deposit. But after that, which is like the initial deposit, was around, like, you know, 2 million from our CFE plus some of the tokens. And then on top of that, that was around, I believe, in June or July when we launched the vault. Somewhere, I think June was when we launched the vault. And so since June, launched the vaults, the 2 million in liquidity. From there, now it's around, you know, from 2 to currently sitting at 9. So, and that's all based off of, like I said, it's not like any outside LPs. That's all like vault fees and community farming events, and then like depositing our vault fees into the events to earn those tokens. So I think that, you know, depending on, like, right now, we're going to see, like, you know, pretty rapid growth of the war chest, just because everything's so early on that we're getting into a lot of these really early. So we can get, like, a large share of it. So I think that, like, the upside on a lot of those tokens that we could see, you know, the war chest, like I said, depending on how things go, I think we can see the war chest sitting between, you know, like 10 to 20 million within the next, like, couple of months. So I think that based on the price appreciation plus all the new farming events, we should be able to see, like, I think from where we're at, maybe, like, you know, a 1.5 to 2x in the next, like, kind of like short term, just based on the farming events and all that kind of stuff. So should be pretty exciting. And then also when we have the Yield Foundry DAO investment, which is still, like, obviously just shown as 250K UST. So, you know, once that goes live, we should see some decent price appreciation there as well. Obviously, you know, depending on how everything goes, but I'm always bullish on everything. So, so I think that it's definitely gonna, you know, exponential growth. But there is obviously that, like, a linear growth model at the, like, the core of it, where it does have, you know, the stable coin farming and the lock drop stuff. And then you have, like, the logarithmic growth of the tokens, prices and appreciation. So I'm more of, like, a log guy. Like, so I think that we'll see, like, some pretty exponential growth out of Terra alts and in return the war chest as well. So that's kind of at least my analysis on it so far.
Anon, yeah, prefers log wealth. Love to hear that.
I think also I think the other thing that I really like is the fact that we've kind of been able to achieve this growth and also kind of benefit from different token holdings, but without having to be I guess predatory. So we're not looking to kind of sell any of these tokens, so it kind of makes the war chest, like, a good partner to have. Everything's kind of on chain, everything's kind of visible, but there's just kind of so many different opportunities to use these tokens as well. So yeah, we're kind of long-term holders, stakers and farmers, and I think it kind of makes us relatively immune to kind of the larger market swings. Like, if prices go down, like, the war chest value may go down, but as we've seen, it often just presents an opportunity to kind of accumulate these tokens longer term. And I think if there's a solid token, a solid project with a solid revenue stream, that it's always going to come back stronger.
Yeah, definitely. So that's why I think, you know, obviously there's so much debate out there around the, like, models, like, treasury models now, like, a lot more than when we had first started building Apollo. Like, there wasn't a ton out there in terms of, you know, like, success, failures. There wasn't, like, a full market cycle of that. So I think now that we see that, you know, necessarily it's like, you know, can a treasury actually back a token? That's where even I'm somewhat skeptical of that model of using the word, like, you know, back the token, because I think that our treasury kind of, like, you know, it backs the token more from a power play than it does from, like, actual money value. So, like, the large shares that we have in these specific DeFi protocols, like, that's kind of where I see the value is, like the token is backed by power in a way. So it's like, do you have enough power to make your token worth having a piece of that power. So that's kind of how, you know, with the war chest, it's like, yeah, it is a big, you know, $9-10 million fund, depending on the day. Like tomorrow it could be five, but you know, and it's like the money is interesting, and technically it's backed by, I guess, like a treasury of money, but the power of what is held there is, I think, more important than the amount of money in it. Because if you have like certain things, and I think those two will correlate with each other, where if you have enough of enough power, like that's the backing of the token, is that, like, you know, you have a large share in these other really important things, and they affect your product. So it's like, do you have power over things that affect your product, and can you optimize what other people are doing to kind of make your user experience better? So I think like the power of the Apollo token is based on the fact that we can, you know, have heavy governance power and other protocols that affect our users and our use cases. So it's kind of like an interesting concept where I think that kind of that power of being able to offer the best service is like sometimes almost more valuable than money at some, like, but then I think, like I said, they will correlate, and that power will basically turn into a very large amount of money, because that's basically all that money is kind of like tokenized time and power. So it's kind of, I don't know, maybe I just go too far down the rabbit hole when I think of like the value of time, money, and power, but that's kind of like, I guess, yeah, where I've been led on the treasury model.
Yeah, no, man, I totally understand where you're coming from, and in like the best way possible, I see it as like the beautiful love child of like Ohm and CVX mixed like to the best possible degree. So that's like something that's really exciting and has a lot more use, and I think is like somewhat unseen. So it'll be like it is like going to be an extremely useful token, and like excited for people to actually be able to unlock its full potential and have a big treasury, but also have like, you know, meta governance over the most important protocols on Terra. So yeah, man, I'm totally there with you for sure. And then kind of one last thing that I wanted to touch on, we kind of went over bonds, but do you guys have an outline of when you guys want to launch bonds, and kind of how that will boost protocol revenue as well?
Yeah, so I think we're kind of getting to the point that we're pretty keen to launch them soon. So yeah, I think we've kind of got several options. So kind of the original one being Olympus Pro coming to Terra. So yeah, we'll be good to see that kind of as soon as possible. But if we're kind of looking to launch bonds sooner, I think we also have kind of a number of other options. So yeah, I think it'll be something kind of we're looking into more and more, looking into kind of a few different models, whether we kind of potentially even kind of simplify the kind of the bond model a little bit and kind of offer some more simplified bonds to kind of start that process off. And we'd probably originally just be looking at bonding for Apollo LP. So yeah, I think this has been a pretty good revenue stream for us at the moment. It's earning kind of Astro tokens. It's also earning Apollo tokens. So one kind of, I think, especially once governance is launched, if we have kind of a good stack of Apollo tokens, we can then start looking at kind of treasury swaps with other projects as well. So yeah, I think kind of it's definitely a really kind of interesting way to kind of bootstrap a treasury. But I think we'd also kind of keep them relatively limited. We wouldn't be having any more inflation. It would come from the farming rewards. So it's a kind of one way that it could look is we would reduce the rewards going to farmers, but then also reduce the kind of performance fee in line with that, so they're making the vaults kind of as attractive or more, potentially more attractive, and then also having kind of a different revenue stream of kind of accumulating our own LP, and really kind of just increasing that potential for kind of the long-term trading, also kind of accumulating Astra and Apollo tokens. And also kind of going full circle back to the kind of original point of the kind of Mars leverage farming, that the more liquidity we can get, the kind of the sooner we can get Apollo listed as a potential leverage vault as well. So yeah, I think there'll be kind of a really interesting value add as well. And yeah, just something kind of a little bit different as well.
Awesome, man. Love to hear it. You know, every time that we chat about Apollo, I pretty much just kick myself for not always copy trading the war chest and what you guys do, because I am down so much further than I would have been if I just shut up and listen for a bit. But yeah, man, that was great, guys. Super hyped to hear about all the new stuff that you guys have going on, and super excited to have kind of everything launched in succession and kind of have the full potential of the protocol unlocked. Definitely going to be max locking soon, so super, super excited about that. Anything else that you guys wanted to add on that you think the listeners might find valuable in the end?
Never fade the interns. That's my final comment from today.
Yes, sir. Never fade the intern, never fade Doquan, because he will roast you on Twitter.
Yeah. I think I saw El Shada posted it, something like, it was like Doquan Doe, like the art of ratioing without regard for human life, dude. And I saw that. I was just like dying laughing. That last ratio was pretty brutal. That one had to have hurt.
You got to give it to him, man. You got to give it to him. There have been a lot of Luna disbelievers, and they better believe it, bro.
Yeah, never fade. Definitely never fade Doquan. That's definitely a good rule.
Yeah. All right, cool, guys. Well, again, as always, thanks for coming on. Always great to talk to you guys. If anybody in the crowd is like not involved in the Apollo community, go join their Discord, get in there, get involved before staking starts and governance starts. Thanks so much again, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. And thank you to everyone that joined as well. Always great to have you. And thank you so much.
Also, don't tell anyone, but I opened up a high leverage short on Luna. I don't want to get hate from everybody. But
On Luna?
Yes, I am not a bear, but I'm short on Luna. Oh, bro. I shorted it at 102. I'm going to close it. But
when you can't pay rent next month, don't come to me, bro.
No. I already have a few. I just longed Luna yesterday, so I have a few more months of rent, so I could probably ship post. Like pretty comfortably for at least 2 to 3 more months before I'm worried. So, but yeah, I always like to throw in a little bit of, you know, loose cannon at the end.
Yeah. You got to fade yourself sometimes.
Yeah. I got to fade myself. It's like, it's funny because I basically took out an Anchor loan. I switched it to Luna, and then I sold the Luna because like I had to use the Luna to send it somewhere. And then I basically like took out a loan against my Luna to then short Luna, and then like I'll close that and then put it all back into the loan and then keep the separate profit. And then I'm actually like shorting Luna to end up with more Luna. So it's like, you know, 4D chess, unless it goes wrong.
Definitely not a bear. Okay. Good to hear.
Yeah. It's shorting to get more of it. It's a strategy that I use quite often and sometimes get blown out, but.
Yeah, bro. All right. Well, hey, just keep the war chest safe. I think that's all we really care about.
The war chest does not do any of my high leverage strategies. A lot of chill.
All right, guys.
Yeah, take it easy, man.
Yeah. See you guys later.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Terraforming with Apollo Dow, recorded on Wednesday, March 9th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects, and check them out online at glowyield.com. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist.
They can't even say they're making pennies per play.
Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.